And there's another thing the Bible says about Christian music, good Christian music. And that is, number seven, that it is to be separate from the world. Right in the heart of our passage tonight, Ephesians 5 verse 8 says, "For ye were sometime darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord, walk as children of light." And verse 11 says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." And the Bible commands us to separate from this wicked world. It's not an option. It is a commandment. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, the Word of God says this about our relationship with the world. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, and the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." God commands us to separate from this wicked world. In the book of James, in chapter 4, verse 4, the Bible says, "Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever, therefore, will be the friend of the world is the enemy of God." Do you want to be the enemy of God tonight? The Bible plainly says you cannot be a friend of God and at the same time be a friend of this wicked world. There's a separation that is required of Almighty God. He's a holy God. This world is not holy. There is a separation that God requires. You wouldn't know that by going to the average church today, but the Word of God demands that we separate from this present wicked world. People complain and they say, "Well, hey, wait a minute now. What about love? Don't you believe anything about love?" Yes, and the Bible has a lot to say about love. In fact, 1 John 5, verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments." And His commandments are not grievous. The love of God does not mean I can do whatever I want to do and just live however I want to please. The love of God means I am constrained to obey God and to do whatever He's told me to do. People also say, "Well, hey, what about grace? Don't you believe in any grace?" Well, yes, we believe in grace. We believe that everything the Bible says about grace. And Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12 says this about the grace of God. It says, "It brings salvation, and it hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world." The Bible says that the true grace of God teaches men to live godly and to separate from this wicked world. Well, people say, "Hey, what about liberty? Don't you believe in any liberty?" Yes, we believe in liberty. We believe that we're free to do everything that God has told us to do, and we're free because of the blood of Jesus Christ to serve Him and to know Him and to have eternal life. But liberty in Christ does not mean I can just do whatever I want to do. In fact, the Bible says in Galatians 5, verse 13, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." And there's no, when the Bible speaks clearly about anything, I, as a Christian, do not have any liberty to ignore it. That's a phony and a false view of liberty. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, which is the same book that says we're saved by grace alone, without works, that it's a gift of God, that same book has at least 88 specific commandments that God has commanded Christians to do. And so God tells us to separate from the world, and our music, if it's going to please God, is going to be separate from this wicked world. That's not tonight, though, what we see in contemporary Christian music. In fact, for this one reason alone, I would reject contemporary Christian music tonight, because contemporary Christian music, any place I have examined and looked at it, contemporary Christian music denies separation from the world. There is no separation from the world in contemporary Christian music tonight. They have a worldly appearance. You know, the world has a certain look. And there's a reason behind the way the world looks. A fashion is not just a haphazard thing. A fashion always makes a statement. And there's a reason why people wear their hair a certain way, why people wear certain kinds of clothes, why people pierce themselves in certain ways. It always is sending a certain kind of message out by that. And when you look at contemporary Christian musicians tonight, they look exactly like the world. There is no separation. This group is called DC Talk, and they have the same earrings and the same kind of smirks and the same frizzy hair and everything just like the world. Here's a group tonight called Delirious, and they look exactly like the world. Here is a group called the Newsboys, and they look exactly in every jot and tittle like the world. Here is a group called Rays. Rays got in a little trouble lately, but Rays was supposed to be on a tour right now. They had their ads in magazines, but they, the leader here, the black man, he had sexual relations with young teenagers. But anyway, and he's in prison. But here they are, and they look exactly like the world. And here's the old group Striper. They broke a lot of territory. Now, Striper's not dead. They reformed and they're on tour now. But Striper years ago broke ground by coming out looking exactly like heavy metal type rock and rollers, but they said, we're Christians, we love the Lord. Now, since then, they've admitted that they lived wicked lives. And so they look exactly like the world. Not only that, they live like the world in many cases. In examining contemporary Christian music, I've been amazed to see exactly how openly they do live in a very worldly manners. The same drinking and cussing and divorce, homosexuality, immorality, adultery. Just a few of the well-known contemporary Christian musicians who are divorced or adulterous are Sandy Patty, Denise Williams, Sheila Walsh, John Talbot, Randy Stonehill. John Talbot was before he became a Catholic. Larry Norman, Tom Howard, Kirk Franklin, Jamarc Davis, Ralph Carmichael, Steve Archer, Amy Grant, Gary Chapman, Stacy Jones, Melody Green, Michael W. Smith, and all the members of the group Barnabas. In fact, well, here's Amy Grant. Here's Amy Grant's first husband, Gary Chapman. Here's Amy Grant's second husband that she married recently. She went to her first husband and said, I don't love you anymore, and God has given me freedom from this marriage. No, he didn't. She was deceived, and yet she goes right on and has Christmas specials and all that as if nothing ever really happened. Here is Kirk Franklin. Kirk Franklin is very, very popular and influential in contemporary Christian music circles. He wrote his autobiography. It's called Church Boy, My Music and My Life. Kirk Franklin is very candid in this book about the worldliness which is rampant in those music circles. In fact, he said this, homosexuality is a problem in gospel music today, a major concern, and everybody knows it. That's what Kirk Franklin said. Homosexuality is a major problem in contemporary Christian music. You better watch out who you're listening to. And there are spiritual elements to music. You better be careful. There's a lot of things that are not seen. And there's a reason that the music is worldly. It's because there's worldly lives that are back here. And not only a worldly appearance and a worldly lifestyle, and much more could be said about that worldly lifestyle, but there's a worldly connection, an intimate connection between contemporary Christian music and the world's music. The kind of music that contemporary Christian musicians listen to is not Christian music, it's secular rock and roll or whatever. The contemporary Christian musics do not listen to Christian music of any kind. Not even Christian rock. They listened to pure old secular rock music. One of the first things that God dealt with me about after I got saved was listening to old, dirty, sorry rock and roll music. And it's filthy and dirty and sorry. And it wouldn't take 10 minutes with any album to prove that. And one of the first things God dealt with me about was that old sorry music, that I had to get rid of it if I was going to please Him. And yet these people never, ever, ever separate from that old wicked music. Here's some statements, just a few of the hundreds that could be given. Jars of Clay, the lead guitarist, is a Beatles fanatic. That's the way he's described. Rich Mullins, who died in a Jeep crash, but he's a very influential musician. His music still sold in bookstores. He said, John Lennon was a big hero of mine. DC Talk, the group that was formed on the campus of Liberty University, Jerry Falwell School, they said in an interview that their role models include the Beatles and David Bowie. David Bowie is a homosexual rock star. Phil Keaggy pays homage to the Beatles on his albums. Literally pays homage to the Beatles. Phil Keaggy is the most prominent contemporary Christian guitarist alive today. And the Beatles, no separation at all from secular rock and roll. You say, what's wrong with the Beatles? They weren't so bad, were they? In my opinion, no other four men in our generation have done more to destroy the morals and the godly character in this world of society than these four men. One of them is dead. John Lennon is dead tonight. Here's how they looked when they burst upon the scene back in the 1960s, and they didn't look so bad. Their hair wasn't very long, longer than it should have been. And yet they burst upon the scene, and they were not just innocent guys playing a little rock and roll for fun. They were openly and blatantly antichrist. Here's some of the statements. Their press secretary, Derek Taylor, back in 1964, said the Beatles are completely antichrist. Completely antichrist. Well, Marilyn Manson is completely antichrist. The Beatles are the same as Marilyn Manson. They're both antichrist. They are completely antichrist. I mean, I'm antichrist as well, but they're so antichrist they shock me, which is not an easy thing. Paul McCartney said, we probably seem to be anti-religious. None of us believes in God. John Lennon said in 1966 in a very famous statement, Christianity will go, it will vanish and shrink. I needn't argue about that. I'm right and will be proved right. We're more popular than Jesus now. He apologized for that statement when he got into a lot of trouble, but he meant that. In his book in 1965, John Lennon's book, A Spaniard in the Works, he blasphemed Jesus Christ. He mocked Jesus Christ. He called Jesus Christ things tonight we would never dare repeat. He blasphemed the Holy Spirit and the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In John Lennon's song in 1971 called Imagine, he said, imagine there's no heaven, no hell below us, above us only sky, no religion too. You may say I'm a dreamer, but I'm not the only one. I hope someday you'll join us and the world will live as one. When John Lennon was shot down in New York City across from Central Park and people came, hundreds of people came to weep because their hero was dead. John Lennon was dead. And every year they go back there and they have a vigil there and they have candles. And what song do they sing? They say, imagine there's no God. John Lennon has taught people all over this world to imagine there's no God. But my friends, there is a God and there is a heaven and there is a hell. He was a liar. John Lennon had the song, I Found Out. These are the words. He says, there ain't no Jesus going to come from the sky. Now that I found out, I know I can cry. Well, He is going to come from the sky. I've got good news for you. He is going to come from the sky, but that's bad news to lost people. And John Lennon was no friend of Jesus Christ, and not one of the Beatles is a friend of Jesus Christ, and they are not friends of what Christians stand for. And you cannot be a friend of the enemies of God and be a friend of God. There's no separation from the world. In fact, what I believe contemporary Christian music is the devil's chum. That's a fishing term. I used to fish a lot when we lived in Washington State for 15 years, and we would go to many places, and one of the places we would go was Baker Lake, which is under the shadow of Mount Baker. Mount Baker is 10,500 feet high. And we would get our boat there, and we would go across to the spot where we knew that the kokanee congregated. Kokanee are landlocked silver salmon, and they're tasty. And so you go over there, and you anchor your boat, and you get your chum, which in this case was cornmeal and salmon eggs all mixed up. And so you take a trowel and you throw it out into the water. And the kokanees know that it's there and they come up to your boat. And when they come up to your boat, you catch them. And it's called chumming. The fish are out there and you're over here and you want them to come, so you chum them up. And so the world is out here and God's will is over here. And the devil wants us out there. How does he do it? He chums us out there with things like contemporary Christian music, which is kind of a half step from the world. And so it doesn't seem so bad. They're Christians, aren't they? Yeah, but they live like the world. And yeah, they're not separated at all from the world. They're holding hands with the world. And if you're holding hands with them, you're holding hands with the world. And it's the devil's chum. We need to be careful. We need to be wise. We need to wake up. One man said, "Before the Lord saved my soul, I slipped around behind my parents' backs and listened to contemporary Christian music. This music softened me to the music I would later come to listen to," which was rock and roll. The devil's chum. Be careful, my friends. And so we find from the Bible that sound Christian music is always separate from the world. Number 8, sound Christian music will always create a sense of vigilance. Look at Ephesians 5, and we see in verse 15 that we must be very careful in our Christian lives. There are many dangers. There are many enemies. Ephesians 5:15, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise." You see, a Christian can be foolish. A Christian can walk foolishly. And so the Word of God tells us to be wise. Don't be like a fool. So many times I've realized in my Christian life, "Hey, David, you're acting like a fool. You're not being wise here. You're not doing the right thing. Wake up." And that's what God challenges us to do. Be sober. Be careful. Be on guard. There's a devil. He will devour you in your Christian life if you give him a chance. He'll devour your husband or your wife. He'll devour your family. He'll devour your church. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. And he's like a lion. He's watching for the one in the herd that's weak or careless and lingering behind. And good Christian music is always going to help us be spiritually alert. Many times the Bible says, be sober. Be sober, be vigilant. Be sober, be vigilant. In the book of Titus, in chapter 2, many times there it says, be vigilant, be vigilant, be sober. Be sober. What's sober? Sober is the opposite of being drunk. If you're drunk, something else is in control of you. And it takes control of you. And you do things you would never think of doing if you weren't drunk. There's men and women in jails all across this country tonight that they did something when they were drunk. And now they're in the right mind, and they don't know why they did it. They did it because they were drunk. And they were not in control of themselves. And God says, you always be sober, being always you be in control of yourself. Don't let anything take control of you. But tonight, if we look at contemporary Christian music, we find a very frightening thing. We find that it literally wants to take control of you. Now, that's what rock and roll does. Rock and roll music takes control of people, literally will take control of your body. You'll start doing something, you'll say, "What in the world am I dancing for?" You're in a restaurant and you find yourself dancing and you don't want to dance. And yet that music has literally, without you even thinking about it, taken control of your body. And rock music does that. It literally immerses people and literally controls them. And tonight, even contemporary praise music has an element of wanting to control people. And that's what we see. It tends to make people involved in a trance-like state. In fact, they want that. One man, Alan Morrison, is a pastor in Europe, Baptist pastor. Before he was saved, he studied New Age. And he has written a book on music called The New Style of Worship and the Great Apostasy. This is what he said. Songs are chosen in order to induce feelings in the worshipers. Feelings. Feelings are very dangerous. There has been a movement from the centrality of the worshiping mind to the inducement of an altered state of consciousness by flagrant manipulation. He says they're taking that music and they're manipulating people to produce altered states of consciousness and to carry them into different worlds. We heard that earlier tonight. A rock and roll drummer said he was carried into different worlds by drumming. And these people always have drums. I've seen this so many times with my own eyes. One part of our ministry is to give first-hand reports on things so that we know what we're talking about. So we give eyewitness reports many times about things that we warn people about. And one thing that we've observed many times is the charismatic movement. I've been to many of the big charismatic conferences with press credentials. The first one was in 1987. It was in New Orleans. 40-something thousand people there. Huge. In the Superdome. The last one that I went to, and I've been to many others, but the last one I went to was in St. Louis, Missouri in the year 2000, just last year. And I was there, and they had thousands of people there, and thousands of those people were Catholics. Every morning they had a Roman Catholic Mass. The priests were there. And they had all kinds of booths there about Mary and taking pilgrimages to go see where Mary appeared to people. The final message, the last night of the meeting, was delivered by a Catholic priest. This has been true in many of the meetings I've been to. A Catholic priest named Tom Forrest. That same priest, they introduced him. They said, "Oh, what a great Spirit-filled man of God is here in our midst." I heard that same priest speak in Indianapolis in 1990. And he said, "I tell you folks," he said, "I'm so thankful for today for purgatory. I'm so thankful for purgatory because I can't go to heaven without purgatory." My friends, if you believe that you need a purgatory to go to heaven, you don't believe that Jesus Christ died for all your sins. And so this is the kind of meeting that it was. And in the evening, they had 3 or 4 hours of services every night. And at least half of those services at night were music. And you could literally see the music manipulating people and carrying people and literally altering their consciousness and preparing them for certain things that they were hoping to happen at the end of the night. What was that? Those charismatic experiences. And at the end of the night, which is what everybody was waiting for, they lined up in front of the various ushers and whatnot and the workers there, and they began to be slain in the Spirit. And they fell down on all across the floor, and they staggered around, and they got drunk, and they babbled in strange, they weren't languages, but just shalalama, babalama, shalalama. I talked to one time. And I said, "Boy, if that's a language, you sure got a small vocabulary." And he got angry at me. That was in New Orleans, I think. But they do those things, and we know those things are contrary to the Bible. But that's where that music comes from, and that's what that music fits, that context. That's what it's all about, the charismatic movement. And it's strange to have that kind of music for that purpose be brought into supposedly fundamental Baptist churches. And yet, there's some churches that I have been into, myself been in, fundamental Baptist churches, where it's like I have charismatic flashbacks. Back to those old charismatic conferences. And the same music is coming into fundamental Baptist churches. My friend, it's going to bring a lot of baggage with it. It's going to bring a lot of baggage with it. One man testified about a Benny Hinn meeting that he attended in last year in Phoenix, Arizona. And this is what he said. He's a charismatic. "One of the things I learned was how critical music and worship are in ushering in the presence of the Lord and miracles." They don't see any real miracles. We know what they're talking about. He said it was almost all praise and worship. Benny Hinn preached 45 minutes, and all the other hours was music, 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 preparing the people, altering people's consciousness. My friends, you need to be very careful tonight about music. There's a lot of dangerous music out there. And if the music is of God, and if the music is sound music, it's going to create a sobriety in me, a vigilance in me. It's going to help me be on guard against the devil. It's not going to try to take control of me. The charismatic movement says, no, you just need to let go and let God. That's how they teach you to speak in tongues. I've heard them say it many times at Afterglow meetings. They'll say, okay, friends, just open your mouth and start saying things, but don't speak words. Just let God take control of your mind. Stop thinking and let God take control. That's dangerous. There's other spirits out there other than God, and the Word of God forbids us to do things like that. It says you be sober. You always be sober and in control of your mind. And we need to be very careful about music, which wants to take control of people and alter their states of consciousness and carry them along into strange experiences. Number 9. According to the Bible, good Christian music is always conformed to the Word of God. In Colossians 3:16, in the last verse that we read tonight, in Colossians 3:16, the Bible says, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. And it's from the Word of Christ that all of our good Christian music is to flow. Which means that our music is always supposed to be in accordance with the Bible. It is to be sound in its doctrine. The words to the music are always should be clear and understandable, not murky and obscure like so much of the contemporary Christian music is. And above all, our music must be conformed to the Word of God. We need to be careful about our music. We need to be thinking about the words of music. I am convinced with all of my heart, my friends, and I say it with great sorrow tonight, that I believe the average independent Baptist church is simply going through the motions. We're not doing anything. We are not coming in to the services with the Spirit of God in control of our lives. We're not thinking about those glorious words that we're singing. We're not singing unto the Lord. We're not lifting up our voices unto God. We're just doing something because we're supposed to do it at that certain time. And we're not even thinking about it, and that's wrong. And a dead church is just as bad as an apostate church as far as I'm concerned. And our music is to be conformed to the Word of God, and we need to think about the words. There are songs in our traditional hymn books that are wrong and that have a wrong message. I know a church up in Minnesota that went through their whole hymn book, and they looked at every stanza of every hymn and compared it with the Bible and made sure that what they were singing was doctrinally right. Above all, our music is to be conformed to the Word of God. Is that what we find in contemporary Christian music tonight? It is not. In fact, it is full of heresy. Now, there's exceptions. There's contemporary Christian music that you can get at the traditional bookstore like Mardell that's doctrinally sound. There's some. But overwhelmingly, you'll find heresy and doctrinal confusion and error. Let me just mention some of the false teachings you'll find that predominate in contemporary Christian music tonight. First of all, you will find an anti-fundamentalism message. Now, these people that are making that music, they are not friends of a fundamentalist Bible-believing position. They hate it, and they don't mind telling you. And it literally comes through in the lyrics to their music. John Michael Talbot said, John Michael Talbot, whose music you'll find in the bookstores, he's a Roman Catholic, but he said, he warns about a fearful excluding fundamentalism. Well, think about that. Is there not some things to be feared in the Christian life? Well, then what are you talking about? Is there not some things that are to be excluded? Are there not some things that are to be excluded? Sure. Sins to be excluded. Heretics are to be excluded. And there's some things to fear. There is a devil. There is a world in the flesh. There are real enemies. You better do some fearing. We're supposed to fear God. And so what's he talking about? Well, he's mocking a fundamentalist position. Now, fundamentalists can be weird, and fundamentalists can do things that are contrary to the Bible. But a strong position for the Bible, which is at the heart of fundamentalism, that's right. Michael W. Smith, who we've mentioned before tonight, he said, you're always going to have those very, very conservative people. They say you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't drink, you can't smoke. It's a pretty bizarre way of thinking. No, I don't think that's bizarre. In fact, it's not smart to drink and smoke even if you're lost. That's stupid even if you're lost. It's not wise to do. I mean, that's not bizarre to say those things are wrong. It's not bizarre to say that the Bible is against drinking. It has a lot of warnings. It says, look not upon the cup and when it moveth itself. And so the Bible has a lot of warnings about drinking. And yet he said, that's real bizarre. He is an enemy of a strong fundamentalist Bible-believing position. D.C. Talk, who we mentioned earlier, one of their first songs, they said this, so, hyper-fundy, hyper-fundamentalist, don't be dismayed. Check out the lyrics when the record is played and the strong rap music they're playing is. They're saying, hey, you don't like our music? Hey, just listen to the lyrics, old fundy. Is that the way to talk? Is that a godly, humble attitude toward preachers that have a position where they're worried about music and what it's doing to people and they have a godly concern about it? And they're not trying to hurt anybody, but they've looked into music and they're concerned about some things they've seen and they know there is some dangers? Hey, hyper-fundy. Larry Norman, one of the old early Christian rockers, he wrote the song, Why Should the Devil Have All the Good Music? And he believes rock and roll is good. And he says, well, why should the devil have all that good music? Well, the devil doesn't have any good music. If the devil's got it, it's not good, my friends. I've had all of that music I want for the rest of my life. It's not good. These are the words to his song. I want the people to know that he saved my soul, but I still like to listen to the radio. He said, hey, I'm saved, but I can listen to that old rock and roll. No, you can't. Not if you want to please God, but I still like to listen to the radio. They say rock and roll is wrong. We'll give you one more chance. I say I feel so good, I got to get up and dance. They say to cut my hair, they're driving me insane. I grew it out long to make room for my brain. There's nothing wrong with what I play, because Jesus is a rock and He rolled my blues away. He said, I ain't knocking the hymns. Just give me a song that has a beat. A beat. A beat. There's sexy beats. And so he wants a song with a beat. And there's an anti-fundamentalism message. And it's no surprise and it's no accident that when contemporary Christian music comes into formerly strong fundamentalist churches, many other things also change and get softer and softer and softer and the area of dress and the area of any kind of strong standard. Because they are anti-fundamentalist. And if you let that music into your home, you're in danger of undermining in your children's life and your own life everything that a good church is trying to put there. Not only that, but there's a charismatic message in contemporary Christian music. In fact, CCM could stand for commercial charismatic music. Charisma Magazine is one of the mouthpieces of the charismatic movement tonight. I've subscribed to this for years. And Charisma Magazine said back in 1994, notice what they said, songs that were only sung in charismatic churches a few years ago are now heard throughout mainline and non-charismatic churches. Through praise and worship, we're seeing all denominations, Methodist, Baptist, Catholics, charismatics come together. Well, that sounds a loud warning. If you understand the unscriptural nature of the ecumenical movement, you realize that's a loud warning that one of the glues of the ecumenical movement is contemporary Christian music. Tim Fisher observed, who's written a good book called The Battle for Christian Music, he said, if you would not allow a charismatic preacher in your pulpit, why let one sing to your people? That's a good question. He said, I'm not trying to portray all charismatics as unsaved, but certainly we do not want them as our teachers. To keep doctrine pure, we must separate from those who teach false doctrine and not give them an audience in our churches. It's very wise. And yet there's a charismatic message. Not only is there a charismatic message and an anti-fundamentalist message, but there's also an ecumenical message that permeates contemporary Christian music. Phil Driscoll is very popular, a trumpeter. He said, "I have felt in my heart for a long time that music has the power, was the power that God would use to transcend every denomination, every barrier that has kept God's people apart." There's some barriers that God does not want broken down. And if you've got one group of Christians teaching one gospel and another group of so-called Christians teaching another gospel, there's supposed to be a barrier there. It's called Bible separation. Bob Larson said, "Have you ever seen a bunch of young people, be they Lutheran, Presbyterian, Baptist, Charismatic, or Evangelical, setting aside their religious idiosyncrasies to jump and shout when Petra walked on stage?" Their religious idiosyncrasies. What do the Lutherans believe? Well, they believe a little baby can have a little water sprinkled on it, and that baby is born again. Is that a religious idiosyncrasy? Is that something that, hey, you can take or leave? He said they put them away when they go to a Petra crusade. It's the glue of the ecumenical movement, music. There's a song, "Gather at the River." It says, "Sometimes we don't see eye to eye. We don't agree. We don't know why." Yeah, we know why we don't agree. We know what our doctrine is. We know what somebody else's doctrine is. What is this? "But Jesus prayed that we would be one." No, He didn't pray that everybody that claims to be a Christian would be one. He didn't pray that. And He said, "Can't we put away our differences, lay down our pride?" It's not just pride that keeps people, Christians apart. It's doctrine. And that's an ecumenical song, and it's dangerous. The Gaithers, on their Back Home in Indiana album, the song, "Jesus Built This Church on Love." Here's the words. "Do you ever just get to wondering about the way things are today? So many on board this gospel ship trying to row in a different way. Jesus built this church on love, and that's what it's all about. Trying to get everybody saved, not keep anybody out." No, there is some people that's supposed to be kept out. Churches are supposed to be kept pure. And if someone is a heretic, or if someone is an adulterous person, or is sinning that way, they're supposed to be kept out. This is an ecumenical song. It's teaching an ecumenical philosophy. And if you listen to that, and listen to that, and listen to that, you begin to think like that. And there's not only an ecumenical philosophy, but there's a Roman Catholic message that permeates, and alliance that permeates contemporary Christian music tonight. There's many of the popular contemporary Christian musicians who sing for the Pope and have performed in Catholic settings. Let me mention just a few. Sandy Patty has performed for the Pope. D.C. Talk, Michael W. Smith, Amy Grant, John Wimber, who's dead, the Gaithers, Michael Card, Margaret Becker, Sheila Walsh, Rebecca St. James, the Supertones, Jennifer Knapp, Audio Adrenaline. In fact, it's the Southern Gospel crowd too. The Gaithers, back in 1990, at the Charismatic Conference I attended in Indianapolis, some 10,000 Catholics were there. Catholic Mass, rosary beads, prayers to Mary, Catholic priests. And right there in the middle of it was the Gaithers, singing and entertaining their Catholic friends that were gathered there in Indianapolis. I saw it with my own eyes. Just 4 years ago, Vestal Goodman, the Happy Goodman family, got together with a woman named Kathy Tricoli, who is a Roman Catholic, contemporary Christian musician, to help produce, help put together and sing on her album in 1997, an ecumenical album. Here's Kathy Tricoli, the same Kathy Tricoli, with the Pope of Rome. Vestal Goodman is in close fellowship and association with her. Vestal Goodman is on the Homecoming albums, the Gaithers. There is no separation. The ecumenical movement, one of the glues of the ecumenical movement, is contemporary Christian music and Southern gospel. Just a few years ago, about three years ago now, Michael Card and John Talbot had concerts together. One is a Protestant, one is a Catholic. And for one concert, they would go to a Lutheran church. Then they'd go to a Baptist church. And then they'd go to a Catholic church. When it was all over, the Protestant, Michael Card, said, the denominational lines have become meaningless to me and to John. He said, we just don't care anything about denominations. He said, my buddy John Talbot, I've got a couple of his books in my library and some of his music. In one of his books, John Talbot said, I am feeling the presence of Mary becoming important in my life. He said, I feel that Mary intercedes to God in my behalf. No, Mary can't intercede for anybody. Mary can't hear prayers. Mary can't answer prayers. Mary's not the Queen of Heaven. That's an absolute lie. And yet he believes with all of his heart that Mary has given him deep spiritual experiences. I believe someone has given him those experiences. But it's not Mary, it's a demon. It's a demonic delusion. And yet he produces music and works with the Protestants and they work with him and they believe it's all the same spirit. There's something wrong, my friends. There's a warning to us that believe the Bible that we need to avoid that crowd and avoid that music. There's something wrong there, deeply wrong. Jimi Hendrix said, atmospheres come through music. They do. That's why we have to be so careful. What atmosphere? What atmosphere? Mickey Hart said, music can carry me into another world. But what world? Not only an ecumenical message, an anti-fundamentalism message, a charismatic message, but also a blasphemous message permeates contemporary Christian music. Here's some of the T-shirt slogans that I took pictures of at Mardell Christian Bookstore, likening Jesus Christ to things like toothpaste or a candy bar or tennis shoes. My friends, that's blasphemy. That has nothing to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got somebody like Carmen. Carmen, extremely popular. Carmen has what he calls the Holy Ghost hop. That's blasphemy. Carmen has a song he talks about, let's jam with the Lamb. He's got a song, hey, J.C., J.C., is J.C. in the house? Who's J.C.? Jesus Christ.
We're kicking it for Christ.
Y'all tell me who?
That's blasphemy. You can't talk about Jesus Christ that way. Jesus Christ is not some jamming dude. You read the book of Revelation and you see who Jesus Christ is today. And when John saw him, John fell down as if he was dead. That's Jesus Christ today. That's the Jesus Christ of the Bible. They connect Jesus Christ with old sorry rock and roll. Phil Driscoll says, God's the King of soul. He's the King of all rhythm. No, he's not. There's the devil in the world in the flesh. Messiah Prophet Band said, Jesus Christ is the master of metal. Metal rock. No, he's not. Jesus Christ is holy. Robert Sweet on the back of his drummer's chair, striper drummer, says, Jesus Christ rocks. No, do you know what rock means? It's a term for immorality. It always has been and always will be. That's what it is. It's what the word rock and roll means. You cannot connect the holy Jesus Christ of the Bible in any way with old sorry rock and roll. And yet that's what they do. They've brought him down to that level. And so the Bible says that our music should be conformed to the Word of God. In every detail, theologically pure and doctrinally correct.